Welcome to Sibling Scribbles. This is a sibling podcast for the creative process. My name is John.
And I am Marin. And today we're going to be doing a special podcast, and we're calling it Creative Corner. This is the corner of my living room, and we're being creative.
Yes. We're not great with names.
So we thought, because the last episode that we did, we kind of threw together a bunch of ideas, and we were like, okay, that's a story. Mm-hmm. And we were like, oh my gosh, that is such a good idea. That how about we just go through the creative process for stories that we're currently working on? Things that we like that will probably be made in a year or two. Because we're doing bales and we've got other things in the lineup right now.
Right. But the ideas that we've had kind of on the back burner, and we've left them like marinating for a while. Mm-hmm. And we wanted to show exactly how we do it. And so for those who are listening, we deeply apologize, but this will be way cooler on the video.
Visually.
Go watch us on YouTube. I'm going to have an overlay of Marin's iPad and the recording of her iPad.
This is the very important moment where I'm wearing my rings and I move my thumb ring to my other hand because I can't draw with it on. Every time I draw, I feel like I just need people to know that.
Okay.
It's really important to me. Okay, now I got to figure out how to record.
You don't what? This is like the whole idea of the episode.
Oh, hush. Oh, hush you. All right.
Okay. We're going to have to do like a sound clap thing for the iPad. So go to No. Your iPad's not recording sound. Go to Procreate and you're going to hit...
Gonna do it on screen size.
You're going to hit like tap it when I clap. Okay, so three.
Wait. I have to get a bigger brush for that. Then, ready?
3, 2, 1.
Nice.
Now it's all synced up. That was cool. That's a little background, a little sneaky peeky.
Shut up.
Into our creative process. That one's free. That one's on us.
Okay. So today we are going to be talking about a story that we have called Circadia.
Right.
And it's one of my favorite stories. I feel like all of my stories. All of these stories are all my favorite.
This was one that we kind of both came up with independently of one another. Yeah. I had a setting and I had talked to some people about it and I had talked to Sam about it. And the whole idea of the setting was that... there is a city, and in this city, there are two types of people, and they are nocturnal and there are day people. And you might say to me, John, that's very stupid. People work night shifts. I get it. Listen, the whole...
Shut up.
Let me finish.
It's not about you.
Let me finish.
Now you're too loud. Turn down your gain a little bit.
You turned down your gain a little bit. You turned down your gain a little bit.
I know. I'm too quiet. The idea of the story was that this is... Originally, the idea was with Dungeons & Dragons. The idea was that there are night elves and there are day elves, and that the city, to maintain a productivity, they have jobs where people just work throughout the entire day, and then people come and take the shift, and then they work throughout the entire night, and then they leave, and the next people start up, and they work the entire day shift. But during the night, these nocturnal elves would be actually... Like they have their own life, they have their own world. It would function just like a regular day, and they would go to sleep when the sun comes up.
Yeah.
And so it was that was my original idea for this setting. And then
oh crap, one second, I have to turn this sideways. I forgot.
And then you messaged me one day, and you were like, "Hey, I had this idea for a setting."
Mm-hmm.
And it was like spot on the same thing, right?
Yeah.
Do you remember what like the original kind of seed for this idea was?
I really don't actually, because I was like, this is kind of cool story of how much the world would be more productive if we had two like groupings of people. Mm-hmm. I'm like, what if when all of the day shift factory workers went home, all of the night shift factory workers, but that happened with everybody.
Right. So like at like accounting jobs and
right.
At,
like how much like we could learn languages. We could do all these different things. But I'm like, oh, but but people have to sleep. But then, like, what if there were a family there that didn't sleep, though?
Right.
So it was an idea of how productive the whole world would be if we kept going.
Right. And if you, there were people, if you didn't need to sleep.
If you didn't need to sleep also.
If you didn't need to sleep, what would you do with your time? Really, if I didn't need to eat and if I didn't need to sleep, I feel like I would be so much more productive. I would never get hangry.
Mm-hmm.
And so this was the core of the idea. If there's a family, kind of an Encanto little family, who are unique in that they have all the time in the world, literally. Right. All the time in the world. Meanwhile, there are these very two different worlds of day and night happening in this city.
Yeah, so they come together to make the family.
Right.
So we've just to kind of a little bit explain why we're doing this on the iPad. We've done this before, where we done a story. What do we call it?
It's a story summit.
A story summit. And I'll just lay out like butcher paper that's in those huge rolls. And I just write on markers on the whole thing. And then we just roll it up into a scroll afterwards. And then we just save it. But we're like, this is probably a better way.
For you guys to see it.
To be able to see it without having to like have other cameras going on.
Yeah. Yeah. So once again, we're so sorry if the overlay is ugly or if I did something wrong.
Yeah.
But the whole core idea of this story is that there's a family at the center who don't sleep.
Yeah.
So we should start with, so we have our setting.
Mm-hmm.
We have kind of some characters. We don't have a main character and we don't have a conflict. So
right.
We can bring that conflict in with the character. We can bring that conflict in with the setting.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about in the past. I don't know if we should just like recap what we've already done.
Yeah, let's recap what we've done. I probably should have pulled up the family beforehand, like the previous picture.
The whole idea was that there was you know, six siblings. And each one of them had a special talent, right? One's a scholar, one's an athlete.
This is, if you've seen My Little Pony, this is kind of a cutie pie. Cutie Mark. This is... My boy. This is kind of a Cutie Mark story. So kind of originally what we had, and we can kind of change it up in this story or in this summit. But what we had is that there is a man who is from the light.
The day.
From the day. And then there is a woman from the night, mm-hmm. time people, and they get married.
Right.
And when they have kids, and they have a whole bunch of kids in the big family, they find out that none of their kids have to sleep.
Right.
Kind of, nothing really explains it. It is just something that happens.
We're moving on, yeah.
Yeah, it's just a magical event.
Sure.
And so you see these kids, you see which side that they decide to lean more into,
yeah.
and then how they use their time otherwise. So the oldest son, I'm gonna write this down.
Hang on. I think we shouldn't start there.
We shouldn't start there?
Because we've had these really cool ideas, and uh-huh. I've liked those cool ideas, but I actually want to go to the very most basic thing and then build a family based on the needs of our character, of our primary main character.
So we'll start with our character.
Our main character is a young girl, right? That's what we talked about?
Yes. So main character.
I don't want to like deprive our listening audience of that other work that we've done, but I do want to show... I think that this is better. I think this is a better way to do it.
This is a bigger way. So we have a young girl, and do we want her character to kind of be the same way, or should I just say how we kind of imagined her character at
first? Sure, let's start with her. Yeah, we kind of imagined her as kind of lazy, right? She didn't mm-hmm. use her time effectively.
She's young. She's like 10 or 12.
Sure.
12, probably a good age. And she... is like, I'm just gonna do nothing because I have so much time, so time is meaningless.
Right, because she has so much of it, she takes it for granted.
Right, and so she's like, oh, okay. Originally we had the mom and the dad and they run a little bakery tea shop.
It was like thing. It was like a cafe kind of,
That's the right word. So it's a cafe in the day, so it's like they have like tea and like all these nice little things, and then at nighttime it's like a bar donut shop.
Right. They like they flip the signs and they you know they move the chairs around and it becomes a nighttime establishment.
Right.
And so these kids spend a lot of time with daytime and nighttime people.
Right. And that's how we kind of explore the world. I kind of want to keep that.
I do too. I like that. That's a good kind of a home base setting.
So these are our characters. Here's our setting. We have the cafe / bar.
So what is the change that we want to see in this character, right? We want, this is someone who is not appreciating, I think that she's not just not appreciating her time. I think that if you're not appreciating time, you're also not appreciating like the people around you, mm-hmm. right? That's kind of the central problem with this character is that she doesn't, is the problem that she is just time, right? Is she not, like, is being productive really the theme of the story?
Mm-hmm. I think it's kind of what we were talking about is like we wanted this story to be about community.
Her choosing to be a part of community.
Her wanting to contribute her efforts to that community.
Like realizing that her time is kind of a valuable resource and that she's using it to benefit everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm into that.
That's like a very, I don't know, I feel like that's a pretty conservative message.
I think that's a good one. I think that's a very good one. I don't think that, I mean, yes, it is a very conservative message.
Be like, oh, you have all of this time? All right, well, help society be better.
I mean, kind of. This is a, you have a unique, I mean, it's kind of a superhero story when you think about it. This is a character who has a unique ability in her society.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe there are other people who walk during, in my mind, I call them like day walkers, night walkers, and all walkers.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there are other all walkers, but they're not very common. Like these two, the night and day doesn't mix too often.
Yeah, because this is how we kind of thought about the setting. I want to kind of go into this because I think this is kind mm-hmm. of a cool aspect to this. So we'll kind of come over here. So during the day in the cafe place, it is, people have like a little bit darker skin. They all have a little bit lighter hair. Kind of, you know, you think of people who are in the sun a lot.
Right.
And you kind of apply that to an entire society, I guess.
Right.
Even though they're not like working outside or like surfing or whatever. But sure. Like they're all wearing brighter colors. They're all like happier people. Like kind of like more outwardly happy,
right.
I guess.
It's a much more extroverted society.
Right.
Like culture. The culture is extroverted.
I don't know how to spell extroverted. They're like very extroverted. I always just think kind of like light, fluffy, pink.
Sure. Yeah.
I don't know. That's always kind of where my mind goes.
A little froofy.
Froofy is a good word.
I am the writer.
Okay. do you know in Howl's Moving Castle, when Sophie goes and visit her sister bakery,
yeah.
That's kind of a similar vibe where she's just like very happy and pink, and she's
the same vibe as Renee was very inspired by that.
Like the place where Tiana works.
Yes.
And oh, I forgot her best friend's name.
I did too, and I watched it just the other week.
And I love her. She's so lovely.
She's one of the best characters. I love her.
So kind of like all of those things combined, but in like a tea shop kind of a way.
Right. Yeah. And I think at night it's a little more reserved.
Yeah.
Right. The people, it's not that they're depressed. It's not that they're angry. It's not even that they're like they're still a very fulfilled, a very happy society. It's just a much more introvert. It's just a much more inward focused society.
Right. So these are people who are going to be working some of, like, you think of more night shift type people, you know, like security guards or
sure.
Like blue collar workers.
Right.
So it's not like they make less money, but they work jobs that are in the dark.
Right. Right. So. And so culturally, even though there are still like night shift workers for accountants and night shift jobs for lawyers.
Right.
Culturally,
right.
They've still evolved from a society of miners and like dock workers and sailors and people who could do these things at night, right? They excelled at night.
Like the night shift nurses. Like these people are all very different from the day shift people, even though it is just because they are kind of sleep deprived. but like we wanted to make that into a culture.
Yeah. And we didn't want this to be like a class warfare situation. We didn't want to say that this
like
is
they
haves
live
or
very
haves not.
Much in peace.
Right. And it's not that they, it's not even that they are like at odds with one another. It's just that these two cultures are very different. And so there are clashes, but they're not, this is not the Capulets and the Romeo and his family. It's not a Romeo and Juliet situation.
No war.
These
at
two,
peace.
Yeah, these two cultures are symbiotic. It's a symbiotic relationship.
Yes. Where maybe where like adults are kind of like, we really respect them, but maybe kids are like, oh, you're like a night person.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you're a day person. Well, I mean, that checks.
Sure, sure.
Because, you know, they're just, they're kids and they're putting people into stereotypes and stuff.
Right. But culturally, they've accepted, look, you guys do incredible work at night and you guys do incredible work at day. And we're not going to.
And we need each other.
Yes. Well, that's
to exist.
That's kind of culturally. That's that culture actually does set up the theme for our story, right? Is that there's actually a cultural appreciation for both for everybody's time, right? Everybody recognizes that there is there's a valuable resource at play here, and that is each other's time and everyone's effort and work. And so everyone is working together to create a better world, and they recognize I'm just going to have to trust when someone else takes my shift.
Right. So they're culturally symbiotic. Is that what we said?
Yeah. I think that that actually might be something that we can explore a little further, that they trust one another. This might be, it may be that this character does not want to open up. They don't want to participate because they don't actually trust anyone to get the work done that they can't do.
What do you mean by that?
Like, even though they stay awake, even though they don't need to sleep, these characters are going to work very, very hard, and they are going to want to do things all themselves. Maybe this is a character who says, who is has such an internal locus of control that they don't want to trust getting something right with anybody else. So they don't actually like open up to their community because they don't think they can do it right. They're like, you guys have to sleep. I don't. Just let me do it. And so this is a character who has just decided, I don't care about the community. Why should I care about the community? They are kind of inferior to me. Everybody is kind of inferior to me.
So she has kind of like a, not like a god complex.
A superiority complex.
Superiority doesn't trust community.
Right. She's a gifted kid, right? When you're told at 8 years old that you're gifted, you don't want to work anymore because you know that the more you work, the more work you're going to get. Like, you being a gifted kid is actually putting more weight onto your shoulders.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so she just says, yeah, F it, whatever. I don't care.
Right. I think another thing that we could include would be, well, that's the thing, because we were like, whatever she explores, her siblings are going to be exploring other things that she can't get to.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Why can't she?
Because they are being productive with their time.
Right.
So she's supposed to be a little bit of a foil to all of them.
Okay, so they're all a foil to her. Sorry.
Yes, sorry. Yeah, so they are like...
Oh, okay, so she says, I'm going to start trying to figure out what to do with my life. So she starts to go around and says, okay, you're a scholar, you're a...
Athlete. You're a
secret
social...
street racer.
Yeah, actually, he is. Yeah.
But those are things that she says, I want to get into these things. She shows up, she shadows them for a little bit, only to realize... What? Why does she not have access to these things?
Why does she not have access to them?
That's what you just said. Yeah, you said like that her siblings have something that she doesn't. And it is actually their hobbies. She just thinks like, okay, I'll just go on runs in the morning and that'll fix the problem for me. And then she goes on runs in the morning and is like, I effing hate this. And then she realizes her sister has maybe community, maybe like whatever the theme is, right? Her siblings have that thing that she doesn't. They have community, they have perseverance, they trust other people with the projects that they work on. Like all the things that her siblings have are the things that this character needs to learn.
Right. That's the thing. They're all motivated people and she's not. So
what
like
motivates them?
Purpose. So maybe their purpose is to become the best. Some of them are. And maybe that's a flawed purpose.
Sure.
And she recognizes that.
Oh, and that's a lesson that she can learn.
Right. So it's like we originally talked about like the second oldest being this girl who's an amazing athlete.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, I'm just going to be the best because I can just work out all the time. I can work twice as hard as everyone else because I can have more. I don't have to like have recovery time.
Right, right.
And so she's like, well, that's cool, but like kind of people don't like you.
Oh, okay. So you saying that the siblings, some of the siblings actually are a foil to her in that they show her what not to do.
Yeah.
Interesting. So then we need to know what her end goal is. We need to know where we see this. What is her big decision? Mm-hmm. Right. Because at the end of the story, she needs to choose to change.
Right.
So all these decisions these characters, the siblings do. Right now we have like who these were originally. But what is the big final decision that she does? And how does that how do all these other characters inform that final decision? Does she have a purpose, right? Does she choose to is being social, is having friends the lesson that she's learning? Is serving a community, being a member of the community, what's important? Is being a leader in the community, what's important? Is what is the thing that she does? Does she take over at the bar? Right? Maybe taking over at the bar is kind of the symbol of I have now accepted people and I accept that I can help out in ways that other people can't.
Right. Because her parents, I think like her family, they all have to take one shift.
Sure.
So they either work, you know, like 6 hours for a day shift or they work 6 hours of a night shift or they work something to help their parents out. Because the dad runs the day and the mom runs the night and they need employees.
Right. Bob's Burger situation.
Right, right. And I'm sure that they like would have like other employees too, but you know, the kids have to help out. That's part of it.
Well, then I kind of like, do you like that idea of her kind of taking over as, I mean, I know she's 12, but is her kind of committing to the bar and the cafe? And kind of committing to this, like, I want to be a part of helping people here.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be a part of this community. Is that the symbol? Is that a choice?
She has kind of a Kiki's Delivery Service moment, I think.
Sure.
Where, because the sister right above her, she wants to take over the bar.
Okay.
Like, she was like, I can manage both shifts. She's like, I want to be like a restaurant owner.
Do we want to keep that then? Because her making a choice to run the bar would be a pretty good way of saying, you know, she's accepted her society. She's accepted her place in her community. And she now wants to participate in an active way.
Mm-hmm.
Is her kind of taking over and her actually, you know, being an active member at this establishment.
What do you want? Yeah, being like, oh, hey, Bill, how are you doing?
Right.
Being like, how's your shift? Extra donut.
Maybe she's always like running off in the beginning, right? Maybe the moment that we show her character is like, hey, you need to come and work. And she just hates work and she's crap at it.
She stares at the clock.
And she just runs out at one point. It's not her time to run out, but she just runs out and she does nothing with her time. She just runs out and she just sits around staring at things, right? Just kind of hanging out.
Like, you know, poking bugs and playing with rocks.
Right. Yeah. just not even, not, I don't mean to say like that she's unproductive, but she kind of
but
is.
She is.
And she just wastes her time doing nothing.
Kind of as a reflection that people nowadays, like they have so much time, they say they don't have any because they come home and they just veg on their phone.
Ooh, I like that.
So in a way, reflecting that, but I don't want to show it with her on her phone.
Right. No, I don't want phones in this, but I
because this is, it's not happening in modern days.
No, this is kind happening of a in like fantasy,
a it's a fantasy
kind of a timeless sci-fi fantasy world. Yeah. So we have so maybe we have her going out to see shows and she can just stay awake. And so she just like watches shows for a really long time. And then when she
goes to like movie theaters.
Yeah, she goes to, or yeah, or like, yeah, we have like black and white movie theaters, and she gets bored of doing that and she runs off, and like she has these places that she goes where she knows she can just kind of hang out there mm-hmm. and not get anything, like just do whatever. And then eventually she has to go and work a shift, right? Sometime during the week, or just a few shifts during the week, you know? But during her free time, she doesn't actually do anything. She's just kind of sits in these places during the day night cycle, letting time pass her by.
Right.
So I do you think, because this is Killing a Darling right now.
Yeah.
Right. This is Killing a Darling. Do we want to change that sibling's deepest desire to run the restaurant to give this character the restaurant at the end?
In that case, I think we should kill that darling and give that job to main character girl.
Okay, so that's the big choice. The big right. choice at the end is her actually working her shift, actually trying to participate,
taking care of the people who come to her for a service.
Right. Right. Recognizing that she has a responsibility as someone with this unique ability to help people. With great power, great responsibility. While you write that, I'm going to really quickly explain. Killing your darlings is a concept where there are things, you have an idea, like we just did. We had an idea. We were really committed to that idea. I liked that idea when we originally pitched it.
Mm-hmm.
But as we talked through ways to improve the story, we recognized that some of these ideas actually impede our ability to tell a good story. So instead, we...
Our darling little idea that we were so proud of and that we love so much and we want to keep in this safe little bubble because we want everyone to experience that darling like we do in our heads.
Right. You have to let that idea... You have to pop it. And in a way, we did kind of roll that idea into the bigger idea. We didn't lose this idea of I'm going to take over the restaurant, right?
Mm-hmm.
We didn't lose the idea entirely, but it has evolved taking past its original purpose.
That come to people. Oh my gosh. I shouldn't talk while I write.
That's why I started talking. I was gonna talk while you wrote, yeah.
To her.
Okay. So that is...
So that's a really good arc to have. So, woo, arc.
So now...
So that leaves a gap.
Right, so we have our beginning, we have our ending, we even have our conflict, right? We even have a little internal conflict with our character.
Right.
This is a very low-stakes slice-of-life story that we've developed.
This is really a just slice of life in a cool place.
Okay.
And with, you know, kind of a cool concept. Because, like, yeah, we can have class warfare, like, whatever. But, I mean, go watch Hunger Games if you really want that.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. There's plenty. Class warfare is a very well-trod ground.
Right. And, I kind of like to make stories where societies work.
Yes. We create an ideal. We create an ideal that we can strive for.
Right. Because, yeah. I mean...
We wanted to tell a story that is slice of life, right? We wanted to tell a story that is not incredibly high stakes. And not that I don't like high stakes stories, but I think that you can tell very impactful stories at a low stakes level as well. So I'm not gonna bash it. I think it's just a different way to tell a story.
Right.
So we have our beginning, we have our ending.
Mm-hmm.
Ish, right? Like there's still plenty to mess around with. Maybe she works at the bar for a while and it's still good, but she makes some great big action to prove that she really does care. Maybe, whatever, right? That's something you figure out while writing it.
Right.
We're talking right now just in general, out like a story summit stage, right? An outlining stage, you decide those big moments, right? You choose, I want this to happen and I want that to happen and this scene is going to have these emotional needs and this mm-hmm. scene's going to have those emotional needs. Right now, we are just kind of talking about the big swaths of the story.
Right, so we start out, we introduce her and we introduce the world.
Mm-hmm.
Introductions.
I think the fun thing about this world too, this setting especially, is that mm-hmm. it's one that you don't need someone like to voice over. You can't be like, these people walk in the day and these people walk in the night. This is something that you can just show through the character walking around the city and watching as the things shift.
Or like the sun goes down and like people are leaving, but then all of a sudden, like a whole new group of people, like, right. wake up. They're all with their, you know, their right. briefcases. They're...
This is a very easy premise to show, and it's something that you can have conversations with, like, midway through the story, mm-hmm. and it will kind of clear up those things that the audience is asking about.
Right. Like, someone could be like, wait, so why don't you have to sleep? I don't know.
Actually, I don't know, man. yeah. But you could say something like, oh, so you're a day walker. Mm-hmm. And it's like, yeah, no, so I'm a day walker, yeah. Or someone's like, oh, so you're a night walker. You can just have moments like that in the story that explain the setting, but you don't need to have them be the first words out of anyone's mouth, right? You can mm-hmm. wait a little bit into the story before you hit those moments.
Right.
So we introduce our character, we introduce our setting.
Mm-hmm. So we introduce everything, and then we see what everyone else sees looking at our main character. So they're like, ooh. But then we see what she sees looking at everyone else, and the viewers can be like, oh my gosh, she could be doing so much more. And they're going to be thinking to themselves, oh my gosh, what would I do with that much time?
Right.
So we want to be able to fulfill that, because everyone always thinks to themselves, oh, if I just didn't have to sleep, then I could so and so and so and so.
Mm-hmm.
But like, would we actually so and so and so and so? Or right. would we just spend more time on our phones?
Right. Or watching shows, or like, would we turn into vegetables actually right. if we had more time? Is it actually a blessing that we have to sleep?
Right. Would we learn all the languages that we wanted to? Would we
become
actually exercise?
Masters at an instrument.
Right.
Yeah. Would we become healthy? Would we learn everything that, yeah. Okay. You already said those things.
Yeah. Would we, you know, have, you know, more time to read our scriptures? Would we be able to serve people more?
If we had more time and we didn't have to prioritize things anymore, would we still prioritize things?
Yeah.
So we have our character who chooses not to, right? Right.
So she chooses no.
Maybe there is something that she is like obsessed with, and it is something that is not, I don't want to say like silly. I don't want to say childish. Childish might be the right choice, actually. It's something.
She's a child.
She's a child. Maybe she's obsessed. Like, the thing is, I don't want to like target anyone. I don't want to say like she's obsessed with trading cards. It's like, actually, you can really dedicate your time to that.
Well, an idea that popped into my head is, what if she like made origami things? And, you know, throughout it.
What if she only makes one origami thing?
Mm-hmm. And then by the end, she's like making origami things of people or like experiences.
Right.
Having
it's we get to. I love that, actually. It's because it's like one thing that she learned that's a good memory, and it's the only thing that she does.
Mm-hmm. And she like, we have like a Wes Anderson shot of her like putting like a paper crane.
Write that down. I like that.
So maybe she.
Well, paper cranes are kind of interesting. If you have, there's a.
The thousand paper cranes.
You have your wish granted.
Mm-hmm. Origami.
I like that. I was thinking something like she collects like little pods, like little gacha pods from like crank machines.
That's funny.
I was thinking she just has something like some things that she does that are. They're fine. They're not bad things, but it's just that it's her whole life. So she has a few things like paper cranes, right? Where she just folds millions of paper cranes and she collects gacha pods. And, you know, you walk into her room and you're like, wow, there's a lot of cool stuff in here. But you realize that her life is actually not, she's not fulfilled. So we would show that. We would show that through.
That she has lots of things, but she doesn't have lots of experiences.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Wow, this is a story about consumerism. Uh-oh.
And then through experiences. So the story is kind of pushed forward by her mom and dad.
They're the inciting incident. Yeah.
Yeah, they show up and like, it's a kind of the idea that I had in my mind. It's like, it's a shot of them like opening the door to her room and like a crack of light comes mm-hmm. all the way to her like laying on her bed. Like, she doesn't need to sleep, but she has a bed, which is kind of stupid.
Yeah.
You know, so she has a place, or she's like laying on her desk or on the floor or something.
Sure.
Right. And it's like completely dark and it's like the middle of the day and her parents are like, hi.
Maybe we should age her up a little bit. This is a good teenager story.
No, I want it to be a kid because then we still have some innocence. Because when someone's a teenager, we lose a lot of that innocence.
Yeah, and it's not because growing up makes you less innocent. It's because as you grow up, you make a lot of dumb decisions.
Yeah.
And right now she's in the process of making some dumb decisions.
Right. So
I like that then. Yeah. Fine. We'll leave her at 12.
So young girl. And they walk in and they're like, it's the time we have our conversation. Like the dad's like, hi, how are you doing?
Oh, right. The dad, of course, okay?
And the mom is like, get up. it's time we had a talk. Me and your father have been talking, and it's time for you to go figure out something to do with yourself.
Ooh. She needs money for the origami paper and for the gachapods and for her silly little hobbies.
Yeah.
They fire her.
Oh. That's good.
They fire her. So they say, look, you're not going to work here until we see that you are doing more. And she's like, no, like I need the money for origami. And they're like, you have a million cranes.
They just point to everything. Ding, ding, ding.
And I love the idea of the dad being like really optimistic and bubbly and fluffy, but I don't want him to be like a noodle-spined dad.
No, he's a good dad, but he's like, not what's it called when you have a problem with someone and you come to them and you tell them what your problem is instead of being like
non-confrontational.
Yeah, he's non-confrontational.
Okay, I kind of like the idea of him being like a do no harm, take no crap.
Yeah,
right, that's kind of who he is. But at the same time, that you're right, it does mean that sometimes he's just gonna be like, listen, like I don't really want to, we're not gonna deal with this, I have other things going on.
And then his wife's like, come on, hon. You know, you're the dad. You tell him what's what.
I like the idea of her being fired because it forces... Because now she's actually motivated for the wrong reasons. The beginning of the story is... I need to get a job. I need to do something with my life so that I can go back to doing...
Fired.
So that I can go... you're fired. So that she can go back to being...
The dad is voiced by Donald Trump.
Listen, little girl, I walked in here, I saw you, I said, that's so sad.
It was the saddest thing I've ever seen.
I've talked to people, I've seen sad things, this was sad.
You're fired.
You're fired. You can't work in my restaurant. Turning into Buddy from The Cake Boss. But it means that at the beginning of the story, she goes out trying to do these things because she is motivated to go back to her comfort zone.
Right. She's like, okay, I have to just take one step out and then I can come sit down again.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
And her parents are like, oh, hopefully she'll be more motivated than that.
Well, I mean, they know that she's going to take one step out and run straight into the brick wall of the real world. Right. Yeah. And so they're kind of pushing her a little bit and saying like,
go be grown up.
Go try some.
12.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or 13, something like that.
And in this non-specific time, 12 is a good time to be making life experiences.
I know that you already work a full-time job.
But she doesn't. She only works a few shifts, and then she wastes all of her money on...
paper and knickknacks.
Right. And it's not a bad thing to like those things. We don't want to say that's a bad thing. We're just saying that the high level of indulgence is a problem.
Right.
Let's keep it moving.
So the idea was they give her a pet. And so that we have a buddy that she gets to be with and that she gets to practice being a human with, I guess, right?
Maybe that's all they say then. Maybe they don't give her the pet. Maybe they say you can get your job back if you can prove you're responsible.
Yeah.
And so she goes out looking for ways to be responsible, and she does find a pet, and the pet follows her around. And at first she hates the pet because it is responsibility and she doesn't want to be responsible. But eventually she comes around to liking her pet quite a bit.
Right. So she gets a pet. And with the pet...
Of course the pet is some freakish, fantasy monster.
I wanted it to be a kiwi. Because a kiwi is a nocturnal bird.
Oh my god. Oh, that's adorable.
And that's really cute. Gosh. And just kiwis are really adorable, and I've never seen one in media before. So I'm like,
a really cartoonized version of a kiwi would be
so cute.
Okay, yeah. So cute. Yeah, put that in.
Yeah, so she gets a pet.
Kiwis are like Australian penguins.
They're actually New Zealand.
I don't remember asking you.
The people of New Zealand are actually called Kiwis.
Yeah, they're called Kiwis. I know that. No, I know that. I didn't put that together.
So she gets a pet, and then she goes and is like, okay. Or maybe she gets invited by one of her siblings. Like, her sister's like, oh my gosh, you can come on a run with me. Like, I find so much purpose. Yes, it clears my head. You can totally do this. And she's like, whatever.
I like the idea of her trying to, like, get this pet because she's like, I'll be responsible. And then, of course, this kiwi does not want her to put a leash on it. And so, like, she's, like wrestling with a kiwi in the alleyway. And then, like, a sibling sees her and goes, oh, my gosh.
Oh, my gosh. That's so embarrassing for you.
You should come on a run with me.
Or maybe, like, her oldest brother, who thought of being, like, a scholar or something.
Yeah,
he, like,
big nerd.
She goes to him. She's like, hi, what the crap is this thing?
Yeah, okay. So she, through her interaction with this animal, who either does not want to be with her or she doesn't want to be with it. You know, we have this fun little, will they, won't they be friends relationship.
She connects with her siblings.
Right. And she realizes that there are really cool things that they're doing that she does not have access to. Right. She doesn't have, we explore things like the reason people do things. Right. So for social reasons, for competitive reasons, for excellence, for security. For comfort, right? All these people explore the many, like, and each one of them, it's not a bad thing. Nothing that they're doing is particularly wrong. Sometimes they take it to an extreme.
Yeah.
But it is something that she can see and goes, what do I want? So now we get to go to those characters.
Right.
So let's go
to... So I'm going to write down the original ones. And if we want to, like, noodle them around.
Sure.
Hit me. I think that's good. Okay, so originally, I'm gonna make this bigger. Grab it in recess. Pioneer. Okay, so originally we had 7 siblings. We've killed off one of them. Excuse me. We've killed off. We've killed off one of them. So it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Where does she fall into this
she
lineup?
She is this one.
Okay, so she's the second to last. Okay, because we did say the last two were twins.
These two be twins.
Right, so she is the last single sibling, and the last two are twins.
Right, so we thought the oldest one would be a scholar.
Right.
The idea that with all of this time, you could learn everything in the world. So
actually,
he's like triple majoring in college, but he lives at home because the college is just down the street or something like that.
Well, and maybe the college is a daytime college.
Right.
So maybe we have a character who is he's an all walker, right? I'm using these terms until we come up with something better. He's an all walker, but he is choosing to live among day walkers, right? And I think that's a good way to start, actually, because it eases us into the idea of these people who can stay awake all day. We have a character who we immediately see who has a day just like the rest of us, except at night. He can just study. He can just read and read.
He just keeps going.
Yeah.
So he's a scholar. The next one I thought...
What's he a scholar of?
I don't know. Because he could be a scholar of, like, multiple things that don't have anything to do with each other. Or he could be, you know, have, like, a business, finance, entrepreneurial
thing. Interesting.
So he's just, like, this... He has all of the experience that you could possibly need.
And he's just like, oh, yes. I have a bachelor's degree and 10 years of experience.
Exactly.
I kind of like that because it shows, because this character, it could be like all about the hustle, right? He's all about like, hey, man, just put in a few more hours, right? Just put in a few more hours. I guess all of them are going to be like that to some extent.
Yeah, because they're all like almost overly motivated.
Is he striving for excellence? That's the question. What is his motivation? What is his wants and needs?
My thing is that he's an oldest child. And so I married an oldest child. And so this is kind of my experience with that. That he is like, I need to make my mom and dad proud. Because I am one of the only, you know...
Oh, he's the one who's
all
kind of,
walkers,
he's the bulwark.
Right, like, I have to make sure that I set a good example for my siblings. They can't be wasting their time with this, like, gift they've been given.
Set an example for society, even.
For society. Like, we are good people. We're not just, like, weirdos who, waste our time.
We're not breaking the culture. We're actually the evolution of this culture.
Right. Like, we need to bring people together who are all walkers. Or, like, night and day, we need to, like, merge that even more than we have.
So his want is to not let anyone down, right? His want is to...
Kind of make everyone proud.
Yes. What is his need? What does he need as a character?
He needs to relax.
Okay.
So he needs to take a shift with his mom. Because
he works day shifts.
Because the daytime, like, he'll work a day job, he'll go to school day job, and then the nighttime is when he just spends all of his time with himself.
So he is unbalanced in the fact that he's ungrounded. Mm-hmm. Ooh, okay. So what he needs is he needs to be realistic. Mm-hmm. So maybe the thing that he is studying, maybe it's philosophy.
That's good.
Right? I'm not to say that philosophy people are ungrounded. They are. I'm just not saying that right now.
But it's not like being a scientist or like.
Right. Yeah. He's not a scientist. He's not in STEM. Right. He's not doing science, math, technology. He's not doing mechanical engineering.
Right. Right.
He's trying to move forward. He's trying to put all of society on his own shoulders. He's trying to not disappoint anyone.
Yeah. He's kind of like the really strong person.
Yes. In Encanto, but with his brain.
Yeah, with his brain and not his muscles.
And so philosophy is a fun one. And it'd be a fun one to have him there too, because he could.
And he's a date person.
It'd be fun to have that too, because he could explain philosophies. He could kind of like break some of these philosophical ideas to readers right away.
Right. Okay, so that's him. The next one I thought would be an athlete.
Right, kind of a stark contrast. And this is a Nightwalker. Right.
Yeah, I mean,
we had talked about Boxer.
We talked about Boxer. I kind of wanted her to be like a runner, just because
runners are nuts.
If she was like an ultra marathoner.
Ooh, okay.
Where she can just practice.
Yeah.
She can just run for like 8 hours.
Right. She's like, holy crap. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, she's fine because she'll just go home and, you know, she'll ice and she'll heat and she'll. You know?
Yeah, yeah. But she has the time to do all of it. Mm-hmm. So she can just practice running as far as she wants and as long as she wants.
So maybe she's just running away. Just.
Right, right. So
like completely on the nose.
So what wants and needs again. So this is a character. Is she striving? The first character is not striving for excellence. The first character is striving for actually for acclaim. He's striving for public recognition.
Yeah.
And he, I think that maybe it'd be funny to have him be in public trying to be recognized and everyone's like, you're kind of kooky. Mm-hmm. She is not that way. She is, we're running out of time. We got 1 minute left on when we said we would stop. Let's go another 10. Go another 10. But he's going for public recognition. He's going kind of for glory. At least a little bit, he's going for glory. Okay. And his need is he needs to be grounded. He needs to be realistic.
Grounded. Okay. And she, and maybe he's just kind of, he's a little bit awkward. You know?
Of course he is.
You know, because he's been studying all the time.
He doesn't quite belong with the sun people. He doesn't quite belong with the moon people. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Okay. So the athlete sister, is she striving for excellence? Is she trying to just, she doesn't care what other people think. She doesn't care about social. You know, she doesn't care about any social needs at all.
So the first guy, he's like mind.
Okay.
And then she's like body.
Right.
And then the next kid is all like social.
Right.
So he's like heart.
Right.
And then would that mean our girl is soul, or do we need another sibling who's soul?
I think we could have one final sibling who is soul, because here's the thing. This is part of storytelling is you need to try 3 times. You need to fail 2 times, succeed on the third.
Right.
Right.
So maybe she's the youngest instead of having twins.
I don't hate the idea of the twins, but I don't know if they are necessarily maybe the twins are just kind of an extension of the mom and dad. Maybe they are just kind of running around and they're just happy to be there. And they're a foil in a way that they are, they show that being young isn't the problem, right? Our main character is young and these characters are just kind of, it's like the little bear guys from Brave.
Right. Right. They're just kind of there being happy, playing.
Right. The comic relief.
Like they're still filling their days with things, but they're just not. Like they're contributing, but in a way a kid can, like a young kid.
Yes, they're doing the very best that they can. And maybe that that's not something that we need to like put a ton of focus on. It's just something that we see, right? Mm-hmm. They are just there doing their best.
Right. Okay, so back to her.
So her want is her want.
This chick.
Yeah, yeah. Is her want success, right? What is it exactly? What is her, like, is it excellence? Does she even care, right? We have these runners, people, right? Does she even care about, like, social standards or social norms? Maybe she is just like, I am going to be better than myself every single day, and I am just going to grind and grind and grind and grind, and I'm going to be the very best, and I don't care what anyone says. Mm-hmm. And that's the problem, right? Is that she's put success and she's put excellence so high up that she doesn't actually have a social life. So even when she does succeed, and she does do everything that she says she would, she actually doesn't even, like...
Maybe she's overcommitted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so she doesn't have friends. And she doesn't do things with other people. And she doesn't care too much about other people. And she's happy to see other people succeed, right? She's happy to see her little sister go nuts. But she's also like, that's cool.
Gotta go.
I gotta go. Yeah.
Right. So she's put her own success higher than the need and the love of her family, even.
Yeah, or even her own need and love, right? Yeah. She's committed herself so deeply that she doesn't care enough about
success.
And she needs her dad, right? That is, she is the inverse of the first brother.
Mm-hmm.
Is she
a night person?
She's a night person. And so she is so grounded and so focused and so committed that she's not actually... stopping to smell the roses. What she needs is to, we've said like to both of these kids, like they both need to relax, but she actually does need to appreciate community, right? She needs to appreciate the people around her.
Okay. Okay. The next kid is like one of my favorites. He is super social.
So he has two social groups. He has a daytime social group and a nighttime group.
And he has two girlfriends, one in each social group.
Yeah.
And kind of when our main girl, when she comes to like experience his life or she has a run with them, she's like, wait, you have two girlfriends? And she accidentally
spills
the beans on it.
Because he has that personality thing where it's like when you tell group A jokes with group B.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So he has like a daytime persona and a nighttime persona.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe he doesn't want her to follow her at all. Like the first two siblings are like, hey.
Come with us.
And he's
show you how to be, you know, and successful.
And he's like, oh, my gosh, stay away from me. I cannot handle you right now.
Right.
Just you can sit at that table over there. You can watch me be cool. And like he'll show her off. He'll be like, this is my younger sibling. She's so cool. And all of his friends are like, wow, she's amazing.
You're such a good brother.
You're so cool. That's why I like you. Yeah.
Right, right.
And then she accidentally spills the beans that his relationships are.
Right.
Well, that might be really important too. Maybe his want is that he wants to be accepted.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Is that both of these other siblings don't actually care if they're accepted or not. But this is a character who desperately wants to belong.
Right.
And so he fakes it to belong. But his need is,
and he's both.
His need is that he needs to.
He needs focus.
Well,
two friend groups.
I mean, it sounds like he needs commitment, right? He needs to. He needs to commit to something. Is that he isn't? He's just kind of flighty.
Right. I know I can extend the page more, but I don't really feel like it.
Watching you work on your iPad is wild. It's some magic bullcrap.
No one's going to be able to read what I'm writing. That's okay. So he needs commitment. And maybe there's a moment where he stands up for his sister.
I think that'd be an interesting moment. Yeah. Yes, he does. But by doing so, I think keeping him a little flighty is important.
Yeah.
If he does do that, that will happen at the end of the story.
Yeah. But right? Maybe like she gets like in a fight with one of his girlfriends and so she gets mad at her instead of him.
Right.
And then he's like, whoa, back off.
Yeah, he tells her, like, you need to leave, actually.
Like, he's loyal to his sister first.
I think that'd be cool at the end. That'd be a really cool story bit at the end. Where even if people just show up at the bar and they're like, oh my gosh, she's the worst. And he just has a line where he's like, oh, come on, she's doing her best. Like, that is a moment of loyalty.
Right.
So maybe what we see with him during his chapter is that he is, he won't commit to anyone, not even either one of these friend groups. He's flaky. He doesn't show up on time. He's kind of like,
he's really cool and he is talented.
Yeah, absolutely. He's great. But he won't keep any commitment.
Right. Yeah.
Right. And so this is a character who shows our main character, you need to choose something. Right. And of course that's a great confusion moment for her.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I don't know how to draw a soul. So we're going to draw a ghost.
Soul.
I think what if we had two sets of twins?
That's so many twins. Is this her twin?
No. What if it's his twin?
Okay.
Maybe she's...
I don't see a need for this fourth sibling. Do we...
Instead of cutting this out?
Is there something else... If there is something that we could put there, I think it would be good to put it there. But can you think of anything? Because I kind of feel like we've covered a lot of these angles.
I think it's pretty good. I think we need someone soft. We don't have anyone... All these people are very big personalities. We don't have anyone who's kind of like, I'm just doing good. Or is just the parents? The parents are exuding that I'm a balanced person.
I think the parents are, and I think that our main character is. I think that's actually the important part. I don't know if we should have her be very confrontational or angry very often.
In that case, the kid, the two twins, they're going to be soul. Because they have kind of
they're just the
soul of being a kid.
Right. Okay, and their wants and needs are just pure. They are pure. Like, we want to help people.
Mm-hmm. They want to help. How old are they?
I'll make them like 8. Or like 7.
Want to play.
Yeah. And right now, their wants and needs actually align. These are characters who actually are, like, they've reached nirvana. Okay. So I think this is a good place to stop.
Right.
Right now, like, we've kind of talked through the story. We've kind of built up a character, built up a setting. There's a lot about this that could be further outlined. There's scenes that could be kind of worked through. But right now, this is how we do it. So, dear listener, dear viewer, we're so sorry if this me sitting in this little fishing chair has upset you. But I've had a good time. This is how we do it.
We've done this before. We did it on butcher paper, and we did it now. And I really enjoyed that. I thought it was good. We got a lot done. I think in the future, working on this project, we have to kind of break down scenes more and just make it a coherent story and not be too big.
Right.
But like that, John just said this, but this is a really good way to start your stories out. So watch the last episode that we recorded on our podcast.
Episode 5.
Kind of start with an idea and then do something like this. Do it with a brother, do it with a friend, and or do it with yourself. And just break things down and think about the cool ideas you have. Kill the ones that are holding you back and kind of move forward with your story. It's a great way to start.
What's important is that when you do have big ideas, we talked through all of those siblings. We've had massive conversations about everybody in this family already, everybody. Mm-hmm. And so it was fun to revisit it now that we kind of know how to do this better.
Yeah.
And as we understand how they all fit into a story. When you have good ideas, the creative problem-solving process is that you have a good idea and then you let it incubate.
Right.
You let it sit for a while. So even this... Even if we worked on this and we continued and we made every single episode of this show about making this a reality, the best way to make sure that it's a good idea, the best way to really kind of shake out the stuff that doesn't work is to let it incubate for a while. It's okay to put a project aside and to let your subconscious work on it.
Yep.
Because we've sat on this one for like a year or so, and I really, really like what we've come up with. There's a lot of things that I wasn't super sure about, and then hearing them again in a new context and hearing them again kind of cleaned up, I'm way more confident in.
Right. It's been really fun. So good luck this week.
Absolutely.
On all of your stories and creating. This has been Sibling Scribbles.
Yeah, find us on YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. Read Shepherd Called Bales on shepherdcalledbales.com. That's our webcomic that we're working on. Mm-hmm. And we will see you next time. Thanks.
Bye, guys. Stay creative.